Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
So she is of American origin, married to a South Asian man, and there's so it's a mixed family, and that she bought this book called Ramayan.
A lot of words to say he was white. A lot of words.
No,
to say
she was white.
No, she was white.
Oh, geez, yeah. A lot of words to say she was white.
I was a lawyer.
Namaste, everyone. I wanted to try a new greeting because I always say, what's going on? Namaste, everyone. This is Arjun.
I'm Akash.
And we are here with another episode of American Desis. And I'm excited because she's my cousin. But we have on my cousin and her co-founder of a website, Kitab World. For the non-South Asian listeners that we have, Kitab means books. And so this is I'll let them tell you about the website, but I want to thank Gori Didi, which is how I'm referring her for this entire episode, and Sadaf for being on our show. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
So let's open by simply just, what is Kitab World?
Sure. Kitab World is meant to be like a one-stop shop for South Asian parents to find resources and, you know, specifically books, toys, and games to help connect their kids to South Asian culture. So, I would say that's the one line.
So concise. This is what we get with talking to business people. It's all like, it's all formed. It's ready. They're ready to get it out there in the world.
Yeah, we're reading from our talking points. You know?
So I've looked at the site. I don't know if it's completely live yet, but because I'm family, I get that inside view of it. It's really cool. I don't know if it's fair to say, but it's kind of like Amazon for South Asian literature. And it's not, what was really exciting for me when I was looking at it was it not just stories in English that like pertain to South Asian culture. They were also in different languages.
Right. So we started with the problem that, you know, when you have kids, I think more than ever, you want to make sure that they're connected to your culture. And when you're living in a country which, you know, where the predominant culture is not your culture, you're trying to figure out, how do I teach my kids the meanings of the festivals we celebrate, the ideas, you know, behind the food we eat, or the, you know, the different art and dance forms. And, you know, for kids, how do they learn? They only learn through books, toys, and games. So that's why when we went back to the drawing board, we said, we've got to start with the books, the right toys, and the right games to help kids connect. You know, if you want to talk to a kid about cricket, if they've actually played cricket with a cricket set, they'll understand, you know, what that game means, rather than, and if they haven't, they wouldn't. So we picked out South Asia as the region, you know, because that's where we belong in the global world. And we identified, various topics that would be relevant to within South Asia. And then we wanted to push for languages, different languages, because South Asia is actually very rich in languages. India alone has 20 plus different regional languages. And then there's other languages in the rest of South Asia. So we wanted to do a bilingual push to have those bilingual resources available to parents.
Which I think is really helpful because, so often we experience this that when we were kids, then you're in an English school and parents wanting you to be able to, you know, whether it's assimilation or just simply wanting to be able to put yourself in the best position for success, they stop speaking Hindi at home or they stop speaking the native tongue at home. And having books that you can read with them is a nice way in to kind of help support that language dialogue.
Sorry, how are the books bilingual? Is there like it's a translation under each line or?
Yeah, we have a few different formats. Generally, we have some pure pure regional language books, but mostly the ones that we're sourcing are books which have English and that other language, right, so that when the kids are older, you know, they can read the English part, and even if they're you know, the children or the grandparents can read the regional part.
Yeah, I think language was a really important piece of it. It's like you said, you know, growing up here, sometimes parents stop speaking language at home, and only when grandparents or some relative, you know, we're all Desis, so we constantly have people visiting, that's when you're exposed to that language. But I think very consciously, I think you had to sort of think about how do you pass that on to your child? How do you make it fun for them? How do you make it engaging for them? And the reason we source books that are both English and, right now we're concentrating on Hindi, Bengali, Tamil, and Urdu, and adding other languages, it was, you know, so that they can even connect with those visiting grandparents or relatives, and they could read that language. And the kids, you know, you want to give them a sense of success. So if they read the English and prove to their grandparents that, look, I'm reading, and the grandparents read, you know, the other language, or your parents or whoever reads the other language, it's a great way for them to bond with those people and bond through language.
I remember my nanny, when I was young, there was a notebook of her trying to teach Hindi, and I remember, like, that's something that we've kept for such a long time, and what another an amazing supplement that this could have offered. Before we jump into the why, which is obviously the crux of where we want to discuss with you of why this started, there's a couple logistical questions I want to ask. This is catered for kids at this moment. Kitab Books is at this moment, as it's, and it's for kids in America, correct?
Yes, we're only selling in America right now. Yep.
And how are you finding the books? How has that process been? Is that easy? Has there been, have you just found that there were a ton of books available that, or has that been a process?
So some of that is also goes back to links to the why, you know.
Sure.
So Gauri and I, we've known each other for a while. And once we had, you know, we've always had discussions about being immigrant and settling here. But I think for us in our own lives, when you're working or when you're, you know, a couple, you don't think so much about, you think about identity, but not so much about culture and how to pass that on. Once we had kids, it became more about how do I teach them about certain things, right? And how do I pass that on? So we would try and find books for our own kids. So we were sourcing them and saying, oh, I found this great book about, you know, Diwali, or look, I found a book about Ramadan. I've never seen a book about Ramadan, you know. So it was a lot of discovery for our own personal selves that we were sharing with each other. And we thought, there are so many South Asian parents here who would benefit from something like that. Just even if, you know, initially we're like, should we just compile a list? What should we do, you know? And once we sourced these books, a lot of them were from India or other countries or even based in the U.S., we just found a great number of really engaging, fascinating books telling the stories of your heritage and your culture, which laid the seeds.
And just to add to what Sadaf is saying, I mean, most of these books are missing from the public library system in the U.S.
Right.
They're not popular in bookstores. They're not in preschool libraries or elementary, you know, school libraries. So, you know, so it's not, it's something, you know, they are, some of them are on Amazon, but unless you know the title, you don't know how to look for it. I mean, not every book is tagged with India or something like that. And then there's no, you know, there's no sort of vetting of quality. So for us, what was really core to our idea, you know, and that's why we go to the why, is easing the discovery process for parents, you know. So we have done the hard work. We have put them all together. And it's, you know, you come here, if you want to find a book about how an Indian wedding is done, you know, you're going to India, you're taking your kids to India for a wedding, you'll find a book about an Indian wedding. You'd find a book about if you're sending rotis in your lunchbox to your, you know, in your kid's lunchbox to school, and, you know, your kid may feel awkward about it, there's a book about that, you know. So there's just books touching on every aspect of our lives, you know, and that's where we realize that South Asia is so diverse by itself, and there's so many different topics that come up in the context of culture. We wanted to cover all of those by offering parents these resources in the forms of books.
Now, Sadaf, if I'm not mistaken, you grew up in Nigeria?
Yeah, I grew up in Lagos, Nigeria.
So how did you hold on to your South Asian culture, and did that add a significance to this because you had kind of gone through something similar?
Sure. So some of it is also that there's a huge Indian community in Lagos, Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to ILS, which is my school. So there's a school. There's a actually a CBSE-based Indian school.
Oh, wow.
In Lagos, Nigeria. We're following the Indian curriculum. So we were kind of removed but immersed in that culture. And, you know, most Indian communities sort of like to stick together. Right. And it's not so much like it's in the U.S. where you're really integrated into mainstream society. In most places like that, it's in Africa, at least, and Nigeria, where specifically where I grew up. You're more of like an expatriate community. You have your own housing, you have your own schools, you have your own cultural centers and stuff like that. So you're a little bit divorced from the main, the other Nigerians over there, quite frankly.
Yeah, you have an interesting perspective because you have been an immigrant twice now.
Sure.
In two different spaces. And it's really interesting to hear about the differences, the way that the immigrant communities outside kind of. So what was it when you came to the States, all of a sudden, as you said, there's a difference. It's not an expatriate. I mean, it's very easy to raise your kids in that expatriate community when it's, you know, you have your own cultural systems, when you have curriculum that's following the Indian curriculum in Nigeria. But you come to the States and all of a sudden none of that is there.
Sure. And you're right. Like, I mean, but even though I was raised in that expatriate community, I was still very fascinated with the idea of India. I was there since I was from, you know, kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. So for me, India, or going back to India, was a great experience. I would really try and learn all that I could about India. I remember once I got a book which was just about India and all the states, and I was so fascinated by that book. I think it was my favorite book of all time because it told me about the cultures, the religions, the diversity, the, you know, in all the different states. And I haven't visited all of them, but at least I got to know about it. And I was excited about that.
Can you tell us the title of that book?
Yeah. So whatever books you're recommending for children, we need those. We are going to subscribe for ourselves.
No, that's exactly, you know, that's the whole point. Parents are getting excited about finding a book like this. Mm-hmm. I was so excited to see this book called The Wise Fool, which was stories about Mullah Nasruddin and, you know, Nasrullah, not Nasruddin. And there are stories that my nani used to tell us, you know, and I heard them in Urdu. And now to find them in English and to be able to get just tell my son the same stories, that's very exciting for me, you know. And those stories, and here's the thing about how it bridges cultures, because, you know, we only think about globalization as something new. And of now, but it's been there for ages, you know. It's been, you see so many remnants of it passing on to different cultures, say in the Caribbean or, you know, in East Asia, in Africa. Like, you know, people love Hindi movies over there, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, you're not just a part of, how should I say this? Like, you know, everyone thinks Western culture is what you are taught in schools or what you aspire to be successful, but there's so much richness in your own stories and in your own culture and your own heritage, and it's really about just exploring that. And you know, we want to really pass it on to our kids so that they feel rooted in something that's unique. I'm not saying they can't grow from that, but I'm saying that gives them a lot more strength of identity at a very young age.
Gordy, now you immigrated here. Immigrated?
Sort of, yeah.
Immigrated.
Immigrate to.
Thanks. Mm. From India.
Right, I did.
Mm. How long, you've been here, 10?
Well, I was here
off
briefly for a one-year stint, but continuously for only 6 years.
Six years.
Yeah.
Why did this speak to you in such a way?
Right, and you know, it's weird. I immigrated here. I had not even thought of this when I first moved here. This was not something that I thought of. I moved here with my 6-month-old son, and you know, for me, it was very important to form, to start and get the relationships and the friendships that I needed, you know, that I had in India. That the sort of my, you know, my like my support system basically is what I needed. You know, when I moved here first, I was missing that, and that I got by going for these library story times. And luckily, like I moved into the same apartment complex where Sadaf lived, because she was the only other mom I knew.
Well, we kind of planned it.
It was a bit sad that 2 months later she bought a house and moved out, but she was like the only other mom I knew. I said, you know, I'm gonna move here with my 6-month-old son. I've got to make, you know, understand how to live my life in this, you know, in a different
and
way.
And form a community, right? Like you need a community around you, especially when you have kids.
The entire point of this podcast.
Exactly. And I mean, all, you know, I was there and, you know, we used to go to the story times. That's how I actually made my best mom friends who are really good friends today. And most of them happen to be South Asian. Anyway, so I moved here 6 years ago, but that word was not even on the horizon. At that time, I was a lawyer and I wanted to pursue law in the U.S. I had already studied in the U.S. before. So I went ahead, gave the California bar, went to like a mainstream big law firm and, you know, put in my hours there. But, you know, as I kept doing that, I felt that I had that itch, you know, I felt that something was missing in my life. And I think that was really about, you know, being connecting with my culture in a sort of a more deeper way, and also passing that on to my kids or making it easier for parents to pass it on to their kids.
Can you both speak to, as we talk about parents, what were some of the obstacles that you were witnessing raising kids here? And we're in Palo Alto. There's a fair amount of South Asians here. So this, you had the advantage of a community, but there still obviously must have been some sort of obstacles that you felt this needed to be created for. Can you speak to what you were you witnessing stuff at school? Were you experiencing stuff with your own kids that made you be like, whoa, something needs to be done now?
I mean, it's just the little things, right? I mean, if you grow up in a South Asian household, there are little things about, you know, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, that are slightly different, right? My son would you know, hate wearing a kurta on Eid, you know, mm-hmm. and then I would just force it on him. And I remember once he was howling, you know, I put it on him, and then suddenly he caught sight of him in the mirror, and I saw he's like checking himself out.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, you're like, this is important, you know. It's different, but it's also important, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, even in the way, like, there are a lot of different families now, right? Like, not every family is how our parents grew up, that both parents are of the same religion or from the same community, speaking the same language.
Monsters. Sorry. I couldn't. That was an Akash joke.
I'm rubbing off. Right, this is what happens in a marriage. It's a give and take. You know what I mean?
He's talking about us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, you know, like, for Gauri and I both, actually, both our husbands grew up in Kolkata, and Gauri and I are mostly Hindi speaking, and our husbands are mostly Bengali speaking. So naturally, we all speak English in the house, right?
Right.
So what are your kids learning? They're not getting either language, right? And then when the grandparents come there, I think this is a pushing factor, right? They're like, "Tumhara beta sadif pad pad angrezi mein baat karta hai. Hindi to usse aati nahi hai. Mujhse baat kaise karega?" You know, bad impression of my mom.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, so just talking, you know, adding to what Sadaf is saying, it's not a challenge in terms of, you know, yes, there are, you know, there's many Indians in America and Palo Alto, luckily here, you know, there's a big Indian community, but I think it's a more of a day-to-day or more of a, you know, being rooted sort of, you know, challenge, which is not, it's a much more of an intangible feel, you know, rather than something you can point to. So for example, I remember one Diwali, I was, you know, I spent hours in my office and I had no time to, you know, do anything, because it's not a holiday here, you know, even though, you know, they would try to make, it's not celebrated in schools, it's not, you know, it's not even talked about. So it's like, and then you're like, you know, some of these festivals, which you don't even know enough about yourself, because when in India, you're just immersed in it.
Yeah.
So it's that, and you cannot replicate the immersion. I mean, you know, it's like, so it's ultimately, it's that intangible challenge that, I mean, I remember when I started Kitab World, I asked my mom to find me Diwali books in India. And she went to a bookstore and she said, "You know what the bookstore guy said? There's like no kids' books on Diwali." And then when I started looking, I found like 10 different books on Diwali. But in India, nobody reads Diwali books to their kids because they see it. They live it, you know. We don't. Like, it's a normal day for us, you know.
Can I ask you a question? It's unrelated to Kitab World specifically, but it's an interesting question. Arjun lived in India for a year.
I remember that.
You know. Yeah. Do you ever think about, and that's, I've thought about, I would love to live in India for a year because, like you said, immersion is the only way you really learn.
Yeah.
Every year I read about what holy means. every year I forget.
Yeah.
So I'm also just really dumb. But do you ever think about taking your kids? Do you guys, either one of you guys, like, I'm going to go take them back to where
yeah,
we're from?
Yeah, I mean, like Gauri told you, we're going to India. I mean, we're going separately, but we're both going to India in July. And I've actually booked a train journey for my son, which is a quintessential Indian experience.
Right. Yeah.
And now I'm actually getting nervous because I'm like, he doesn't last for 4-hour road trips. How am I going to take him on a 18-hour railway trip?
But that's where you learn. I mean, I think that I'm really fortunate that, you know, we grew up traveling. We took, what was it, 24 hours it would take to get to India back in that day.
Right.
And like,
yeah.
Like, so now for me, like, planes are nothing. Like, it's like, yeah, I'm on a plane. And my friends that didn't grow up with that, like, getting on a plane becomes an incredibly, like, anxiety-producing, fear-inducing experience. But it's really, I think what you said earlier, both of you said, it's really, sometimes this can get really esoteric and, like, up in the air when we think about what it means to pass on. But when you talked about the rotis and, like, taking that to school and the kid feeling awkward and then somehow a book letting them know that there is others that are part of that. It goes back to something we've been exploring a lot lately with our guests, but, like, the power of reflection. And when you
the power of representation, right?
Talk to
you
me about
that. You
want
to see a kid who looks like you. All these kids' books, most of them that we're living in the U.S. that they like, are with white protagonists. They're not a identifiably darker skinned kid, right?
Right.
And they're not identifiably necessarily South Asian in eating their peanut butter sandwiches or whatever. Like, we eat our rotis and, you know, we drink kachai and all of that. So when we find books that talk about those things, I think for the kids, it's like, wow, that kid is like me. That kid is celebrating Diwali. That kid is celebrating Holi. We do that.
It's so, as simple as names. I mean, if you read a book about grandparents, it'll say, you know, grandma and grandpa and uncle and auntie or something. You know, finding a book which uses the words like Nana, Nani or Dada. You know, we got a book called Hot Roti for Dadaji. You know, whatever. Just finding books that have these kind of names, you know, references to how we call our relatives.
So beyond just physical reflection. Cultural reflection.
Yeah.
It was actually a cartoon. I only saw one episode. I was just interested in the name. It was called Sanjay and Craig. But yeah, there's nothing in the episode I saw about
Shouts to Malik Pancholi, who is the voice of Sanjay.
Really? All right. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. I didn't see anything remotely Indian about it besides the name Sanjay.
Well, but that's a very interesting point you bring up, right? Like, when we talk about diversity, do you really just want to talk about Raj and Sanjay and Priyanka?
Exactly.
Or do you really want to talk about, as one of our books that we get, which is called Hanuman and the Orange Sun, which is about a young girl, a young South Indian girl, Harini, which also has Telugu words interspersed with the story. So it's a very identifiably South Indian, right?
Right.
We have a book on dosa, we have a book on chaat, we have a book on, you know...
things that really matter.
Of course.
Chaat, who doesn't love like that, right?
Matters.
Alu papri chaat.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, she said that very sternly.
No, so, you know, it's... sorry, what were we talking about?
The cultural reflection as opposed to just physical reflection.
Right. And also the point about diversity, and there's a spectrum of diversity, right?
Right. That's actually what I want to touch upon a little bit. I think, you know, and this goes back even to when you take your kids back to India, you know, we can, like, there is a difference in the upbringing. So there's a spectrum of sort of, I would say, desi-ness within the desis. Like, some people are very desi.
Yes.
Some people are a little bit desi. Some people are, you know, not desi at all.
Don't forget the wannabe desi.
Yeah, and some people are, you know. So what we also...
She was naming names off air. I don't know if you guys... She was naming names off air.
So what, and of course, you know, just the region itself, like South Asia, so many languages, so many religions, you know, we have Sikhism, Buddhism, you know, so much diversity within that region. And we wanted to respect that, which is why, like, we really felt that, you know, this cannot be a one size fits all, you know, exercise. This is an exercise where we're showcasing that. And this will, and then just going, you know, one step further, we're going beyond the parents. What we're trying to do is we're creating an ecosystem here. So one,
as part of this, as part of starting Kitab World, we have met so many different independent authors and publishers. Okay, so there's a bunch of, you know, women or men who are here and who've written one book or two books about something they felt strongly about in, you know, about South Asian culture. And the unfortunate process is that, you know, while they've written that book and it may be a great book, they cannot get the word out. They don't know how to showcase that to the right audience. And they can put it on Amazon, but, you know, like, how do you find it, right? In that 15 million books right. out there. So we're trying to showcase and support the authors and the publishers so that they can, you know, they can get the target audience. We're getting feedback from customers, what they want, and then we can pass it on to publishers. Like, one thing we've noticed as part of this process is that there aren't enough good quality board books, South Asian board books. There's only a handful. And, you know, when the new baby is born like that, you don't want to give them paperbacks or hardcovers, you know.
No, so now they're going to eat that.
Exactly.
I didn't know what a board book was, but now I got you. I got you. I didn't know why children. I always wondered why kids' books were like that. And now I get it. All right.
Board See? Books taste better.
Okay. Yeah. Just take a nice chunk out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so now we are able to pass on that feedback back to publishers and say, hey, this is, you know, your market wants these. Can you come up with these? So that's one. And then the second step of this, you know, which we're rolling out slowly, is helping teachers and librarians and bookstore sellers and, you know, all of these people get access to these books. Like, we've got feedback from preschool teachers and, you know, other teachers. They're like, well, it'd be nice if you had a calendar. We don't even know when these festivals come up, they're not on our radar. Mm. Or having teaching resources available on our site. So, you know, we really want to be that one stop, like one place where people can come and access these resources and say, here's a teaching, you know, kit for Diwali, and here's a book, or here's something for Ganesh, you know, Chaturthi, depending on where, you know, there are parts in the US where there's a very heavy South Asian population. So the teachers may want to bring in some festivals, you know, which are not religious, to celebrate. So just helping teachers and librarians with that process. Like, librarians have reached out to us and said, we're looking for more Hindi books and we'd want to, you know, get them. And can you help us? So we've had, so stuff like that we're trying to do.
You know, some people will tell us on this podcast, like, South Asians will reach out. Like, I wish this was available when I was a kid. I really feel that way about this. I wish there was something like this when I was a kid, because I still don't know anything openly. But this would help me. I'm going to read it now.
I'm going to pretend like I'm ordering all of these books for my nieces, but I'm literally going to read all of them first and then give them to my nieces. No, this is such an exciting way to definitely pass on. I would love to hear personally, as you guys have been sharing these books with your own kids, have you seen a difference? I mean, they're very...
good question.
They're young, so it might be hard to speak to this, but have you noticed something
of
shift?
Of course, yeah, we have. I mean, just, you know, my two-year-old, so there's a Bengali folk tale called the Ghost
cutest,
Catcher.
By the way.
It really is.
God.
There's a Bengali folk tale called the Ghost Catcher, and it's about this barber who, you know, gets chucked out of his house because he's not making enough money, and his wife chucks him out of the house, and he goes and he sleeps the night under a banyan tree. And there's a ghost there, and, you know, he fools the ghost to believe that he's a ghost catcher by showing a mirror to the ghost. And anyway, my two-year-old loves that story. And we read it two times every day. So, you know, so just the fact that he knows something like that, he's seeing images there which have, you know, which have traces of Bengal in it. He's seeing, I mean, that to me is so satisfying. I mean, it's just so, I'm so glad to see that.
Yeah, and there are a lot of books that we have that we've specifically found that they're kind of familiar with. For instance, you know, most kids know The Wheels on the Bus.
Yeah.
So we found this book called The Wheels on the Tuk Tuk. Which is about an auto rickshaw, right? And my son loves auto rickshaws. So, you know, it's so great because he can connect with it and he can see it, he can do it. And there's this other great book called Same, Same, But Different.
Oh, that's...
Which
for you, Arjun. That, I'm going to gift you a copy.
Yes.
It's a five-year-old book.
So it's perfect for us.
For the young at heart.
I don't think you understand. We're not, like, I literally am going to read all of these books.
No, this one is great because it's sort of like two pen pals, one from the US and one from India. And so there are these beautiful illustrations of what you know, this kid in a treehouse in the US with, you know, all the autumn leaves and all of that, and this kid in India with his little what was it like?
Like a makeshift,
makeshift house. Like it's kind of like under a banyan tree, really. Yeah. Not even a tree house, but it's so beautiful because it just puts the same concept side by side.
Yeah.
And there's one picture of the American boy with his family, and then there's a picture of the Indian boy with his like 20 relatives in right. his picture, which any South Asian can identify with, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm trying to tell you more because it's radio, I can't show you, but it's just a great way and a very clever juxtaposition of images which any kid can get, you know?
And that one really hit home with my son Rohan, because he saw that we're same as the Indians living in India, but we're different, you know, we're not the same. I mean, we're same, but we're different, you know. I mean, so when we go back, and you know, now my son has cousin sisters in India. They're similar in skin and whatever, you know, in color and in family, but there's a difference in the upbringing, and we want them to be able to appreciate that difference
and bridge that gap and, a little.
Yeah, you know, and but also recognize that gap, yeah. You know. So yeah. I think it's a bit of that.
Has it caused them to be inspired to ask more questions and be more curious about the culture? Is that, because I feel like that would be one of the really exciting byproducts of the. Of the experience.
Yeah, so we had like one of our customers actually shared the story with me.
Yeah.
So she is of American origin, married to a South Asian man, and there's so it's a mixed family, and that she bought this book called Ramayan.
A lot of words to say he was white. A lot of words.
No,
to say
she was white.
No,
she was white.
Oh, she yeah. A lot of words to say she was white.
I was a lawyer. So she bought this book called Ramayan, A Divine Loophole. It's actually a book written by Sanjay Patel, who works at Pixar. And he, you know, he's actually an amazing guy.
He created the, yes.
Who got an Oscar for that short film for Inside Out, actually. Didn't he get the Oscar?
No, he was nominated.
Nominated.
And he won, right?
I think he won it.
We yeah. should know.
I don't know.
We should know.
I haven't even seen it yet.
Ignorant.
We're going to have the name of this podcast, so we should know, but we don't.
So the book is just a beautiful graphic novel about the Ramayan. And so she was telling me that she bought this book for her 7-year-old son, and she and he have been reading it every night. They spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes reading it. And now, you know, he's totally understands the Ramayan, which is a complex, you know, story to begin with. And he was telling his white grandma about the story. And his grandma was learning about the Ramayan from him.
Wow.
So, you know, it's really, I mean, that's part of our goal as well, to make these stories more mainstream and not limit them within the South Asian culture in some ways.
This is the power of story, and this is why, you know, I feel so passionately about what I do as an actor and a storyteller, is because of what it can do and the seeds it can plant and what it can teach us and how it can move forward. I want to close with how people can, it's kitabworld.com.
Yes.
K-I-T-A-A-B world, you know how to spell world, people, .com. But is there Twitter? Is there anything other?
Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram.
Tell us about those things. Where?
Like, yeah, is we're it on Facebook. It's all Kitab World.
It's all Kitab.
So it's very easy to find.
Oh, okay, cool.
And
I think when you said tell us about these things, they thought you wanted some like really heady explanation.
About
you just said, what's
those
the,
are social the media handle? Sites, Arjun. You can type twitter.com and
/ do I need a / in there?
No, just twitter.com and
okay, so it's at Kitab World.
Everywhere it's Kitab World. You know, and
again, that's KitabWorld.com or at all of that for any of their social media hands. Check it out, guys. It's really exciting. I'm going to get on there and buy some books for my nieces / me and Akash, because, you know, I help
know nothing.
Out.
I should know, but I don't.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Was there any final things that you guys wanted to drop to those listeners that are listening still? No, it's not. You don't have to. I wanted to open
Namaste.
That space.
No, we just like, you know, everyone to go and check it out, because I'm sure you'll find something that's valuable, not just to your kids, but you know, we're all kids at heart, so you'll find something that speaks to you.
That was a nice little marketing thing. We're all kids at heart. That could be the slogan. Oh man, brilliant.
Guys, I'm going to skip Akash today because I just don't want to deal with it. Rate the podcast, review the podcast. It just helps us spread the word. It helps the word get out about what we're doing. It also feeds our egos and our vanities. So please do 5 stars because, you know, why not? Let's be compassionate. For the rest of the thing, we're still chit. There's multiple ways that you can help us get the word out about the podcast. You can like our Facebook page. You can share our Facebook posts so it goes out to your community and then introduces what we're doing to them. You can retweet our tweets. That's it. That's actually the main ways to do it. So, oh, and word of mouth. So we're going to come back out next week with another episode where we're going to be, you know, showcasing more cool stuff that's going on in the South Asian community and talking to more amazing people. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
We'll catch you then.
God bless.